You are the promised kiss of springtime that makes the lonely winter
seem long.
You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely sound.
Thank you.
You are the angel glow that lights
star.
The dearest things I know.
Mikey, please, Mikey.
Is what you are.
Pick it up.
Someday my lonely arms will hold you. And someday loving divine, when all the things you are mine.
Are we sure that's how we want to start this show?
Yes.
Okay.
My name is Adam Annis.
And I'm Peter Martin.
We are getting slap happy today here at the You'll Hear It podcast.
Jazz Explained.
Apologies to everybody for
that.
Dude,
that was better than you think.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I'm inspired by...
That was impromptu.
It was impromptu. I mean, there's a recording of a live concert called Very Warm for May that came out the same year that song, All the Things You Are, was written. And it
what year was that?
1940. We actually did an episode about this on the Real Book episode. And I believe the singer's name is, that was my impression of the singer. I think his name was like Tony Watson or something like that. Anyway, you know, a singer in 1940.
Yeah.
Just put it all in the way right in the back of your throat.
WW2 is already, we're ensconed in that battle for a year. What's going on?
Actually, I know we're going to get to a little All the Things You Are. You know what the most interesting part about that, about listening to that concert? So Jerome Kern is playing piano on that show.
Oh yeah.
And it was written in the very same year that the piece was recorded. And on that bridge, you know, here we're on our E major, right?
Yeah.
And so what do we usually do? We go back to like a C. So what Jerry Kern does to get back to the F minor, A flat augmented triad. Mm. But listen to this voice leading here from this. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I've been trying to find a place to steal that because it's so beautiful.
But yeah.
Yeah. Don't sleep on augmented triads, man. I sleep on augmented triads and then I feel bad that I sleep on them.
Right. Especially that was all you played, right?
That's it. That's all the orchestration is. Augmented triad. The voice leading for this, you know, here's a C augmented triad, C, E, and A flat. So when you're going to F minor, the A flat stays the same. The E goes up to F and the C goes down to F.
Yeah. And the E goes down to E flat, right?
Yeah, or you can do, the E goes up to F.
Oh,
yeah. It's more triad.
Oh, right,
we're doing. Yeah.
Right. But even for this, if you want to go to the seventh, you can go down or up.
You could.
Or you could have the seventh lower. Yeah, well, that's cool. And that's what we're talking about, All the Things You Are today, MVP style. So I was just, the way this beautiful vocal unfolded. You remember SAG now?
Vocal.
You remember SAG? AFTRA? I was just playing around with these three note voicings.
Yeah.
So not only were you restricting yourself on the intros to vocals only.
I just started singing because they sound so good.
Yeah.
You can really hear everything.
I think that's good. I came up with this worksheet. Maybe we'll go ahead and just jump right in and show that, producer Caleb. There we go. Boom. I was working on this for a lesson I did last week, or maybe the week before, over at the Jazz Piano Method. Ever heard of it?
What notation software did you use here?
That is Sibelius Don't. So Sibel Don't. He loves it. It didn't even work.
Yeah. That is Messiaen's mess.
A Messiaen. So this was, I go old school with a little bit of handwritten. It's funny, my vertical lines, sue me, none of them are vertical. Talk to my attorneys, Dudley DeBoss. We got to talk about Dudley, by the way.
DeBossier, has he reached out yet? He owes me money.
Yeah.
Somehow our attorney owes me money.
A refund. We pay that big retainer.
Gambling debts.
Okay, so the idea with this, though, is, and we're having some fun with this over at Open Studio Pro, when I presented this, but is like MVP, minimum viable product. You might think most valuable player.
That sounds
and this
like
can be
corporate speak, Peter.
It's a little bit, but it can be the most valuable player of your practice routine if you play this correct. But the idea is like, what's the minimum we can do? And I thought about this in reaction to the excellent episode that you introduced for us here, the SATB, Bill Evans episode from a couple of weeks ago. So it's like, the idea is we're restricting ourselves to four voices as we did. What tune did we go over? Oh, that was Stella by Starlight.
Yeah.
Right. So all the things I'm thinking, okay, a lot of kind of melodic, harmonic movement, pretty quick, every measure. Like, how do we navigate this for sort of the imaginary vocal, it was vocal, melody, but also like, what are the three voices we're going to put beneath? So I didn't put the melody in because we're hearing that part. But to have some really good, solid four-part writing with a few little interesting things, but never going beyond just the three voices plus the melody, right? So a lot of these, as you would imagine, are going to fall to a root and shell situation. So like we're starting there.
Yeah, but they're not all root and shell.
No, they're not. And what's interesting about this is we get into some doubling, which you might think, oh, well, let's avoid that. And you can, but the most common way to avoid that would be to go to this. And I hear this a lot where people are playing this, or maybe with the ninth would help a little bit.
Yeah.
But that's not, this is with the fifth instead of the seventh. This doesn't sound good to me. Does that sound good to you?
No.
Does this sound good to you?
No, doubling is good, can be good voice leading. You know, the most basic thing you can do, Peter, is, right, the 5-1.
Yeah.
And the voice leading sounds great. Here, I have G, B, and F going to C, C, and E, right? Yeah. Wow. Doesn't sound good to go. It sounds better to let the voices go where they may. Now, you don't have a fifth and you have a double root. It's fine.
And notice what you're saying. Where's it going? That's what defines us. So when we sit static on this, we're like, oh, it's not going to sound good, but where does it go? So not only
this one is a great example here. You have your B flat and you have the arrow going up to the G.
Right, because there we're kind of skipping from one voice to another one. And that's about it really just sounding good with the melody, which you don't see. So we have a lot of doubling in there, but I've thrown in a couple as we went sixths as opposed to like fifths or ninths or something. So like on that D flat, we've got root, sixth, major, seven. Because of the third there, that's like a really strong kind of voice. Because even though we've got some fat doubling, and then to the same voicing, root six. You could move it down. These are also good sort of MVP voicings, I think, to lead to starting to do some inner voice movement. Which
this
like
is some hinging going on here.
Yeah.
You know.
And should we move on?
Yeah.
Now we've got our first kind of alteration. You know, when we have those upper extension alterations,
so here,
we've got a couple places we can go.
And again, because the melody is D, you don't need it in the chord. This is a perfect opportunity. You have C flat here, but you could.
Notice how I spelled that correct.
That's correct.
You're welcome.
You could do some voice leading like you were talking about moving here.
Yeah.
You could start on a C natural.
Yep.
And then go to the E flat.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's like B flat 9. And these are good to sing as they're moving. Yeah, and so these should be things that are spurring these ideas after you get them. And you can write your own. The idea is like restrict yourself. Three plus one, right?
These are great, man.
And then start to move them.
Can I go through a little bit here and just see what we got? And again, you have some movement here already.
Yeah, that's kind of like to suggest what you could do.
You could add chromaticism between this F sharp and this E. We're on the G7, the G major 7 here. And then the same here, as you go from the F sharp to the E, you could also move the A down to that G.
And I think that's a fun thing to think about. Like, where's the melody? Oh, it's on the fifth. So
it's on the third.
All right, the third. You can also go out, right? Even though it's above the melody. So they
do. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. And this is actually a great point, is you could design these too. You have everything just below the melody, but you could also design a version of this where you're surrounding the melody
yes.
in a lot of places. Yeah. You can design a version, Jeffrey Keyser does a version of this where you're trying to go above the melody in yep. your right hand. So maybe you have a root movement, you know, in your left hand and the things that are above it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or like... Which is, it's a real trip on your mind if you're not used to that. But
yep.
When you hear Jeffrey Keyser perform, it's such an awesome gear that he can go to. And it's a really useful thing to do.
Absolutely. And if you want to learn that kind of stuff, the tendency is to jump right in and kind of try to follow along and stuff. But if you get this MVP version first, this will set up your ears. This might seem like a huge jump from this to that, but this really gives you that foundation. When we talk also about learning form, and people always ask me, like, how do you practice the form of a tune? I know the tune, right? But go to the MVP, break it down to its most basic elements, and then play through it with the melody, memorize it, come up with a different version before you start adding even things I think that you can, right? But we go to the bridge. This is your... That movement from major 7 to 6, dominant, flat 3, you know, like those are all passing. Good things to start to be able to hear, especially as the melody's sitting. So there I've got, oh no, it's just sitting on the 3rd, but it could also diverge there.
And again, you know, these are so good as just like a fun. I love that you wrote them out too. I talk about this all the time, that when you're learning a new concept harmonically, because yeah. it is a bit of a Sudoku puzzle. It is a bit of a crossword puzzle. It's an intellectual exercise where you're kind of filling in the gaps of what you need.
Yeah.
It, for me, it's very helpful to write out an arrangement. I have an older video on Open Studio's YouTube channel of my chord arrangement of All the Things You Are.
That, yes.
I wrote as an exercise for me wanting to get some concepts, and I found that to be so helpful. I do it all the time now. If I'm working on a new thing, if I'm working on getting solid, you know, 3-note voice leading, I will write out an arrangement and I'll learn it, you know, from rote so that I can fully absorb it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it can be a little bit easier than just trying to improvise everything all the time.
Absolutely. So we'll link to that so you can not only see what you wrote, but kind of what the process was for folks to do. I mean, it's like even if you can sort of write a speech or a story that you feel like you can just do kind of impromptu, like English words or whatever language you speak, to write it out, it changes your kind of connection with it and the conception, I think, in the same way.
Let's talk a little bit about hinging some of these. You know what? When you have something as simple as this written out, another good thing is you can easily see when you want to change some things.
Yeah.
So let's talk about... suspending or hinging some of these notes. So because the melody is riding around here on the thirds, like you can practice some things as far as like adding, you know, moving some of these notes around. One of the things that we don't think about moving around is the actual root movement itself.
Yeah.
But like, you know, a suspension of the root is yeah. not... the first suspension of the root for me is not a stepwise or either way. It's the 5th.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Yeah, that's why.
Picking some of these, instead of playing the root, play the 5th. All of a sudden, some really interesting things happen.
It's that flat raised 5th.
You know what I mean? Like, just taking every other one and using the 5th instead of the root. Or suspending it. Like...
timing of it starts to really
yeah
the rhythm of that suspension starts to really make a difference.
You can of course suspend every 3rd up, that sounds great. It's a great exercise to do. so much fun, right? Now, let's suspend. We can suspend the root and the third.
Yeah.
And look what happens. It becomes a series of 5-1s, right? These are how 2-5-1s evolved, are these suspensions of individual voices.
Right.
So much fun.
Yeah, man. So, but the idea is like that you've got all these possibilities here, but start with this. And if you start to get lost or feel like you're not developing, come back to this MVP. That's like your lowest common denominator in terms of the harmonic information.
Absolutely.
And it just does such a good job of starting to instill the form, right?
It's the fundamentals.
We put the fun in fundamentals.